Thank you. Thank you. It really is an opportunity. It's a privilege. Honestly, it's a privilege to pray and believe God for words to share with people, His words to share with people. Amen? Because, honestly, I ain't got nothing. But I have a big God who I do believe in, and if He can speak through Balaam's donkey, I think there should be hope. It might be slightly more challenging, but there's hope. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I want to read it one more time. Well, I'm probably going to read it several more times, but as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, if my English understanding is correct, that the subject of this is the church. It's us. It's the people that he's writing to, right? So I probably misread it, because it should say, as newborn babes, God will give you the desire for the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It just as newborn babes, desire. It's like with something left out there, but no, that's the way it reads. He's telling us to desire. I had a friend who I used to work with years ago, and he had gained a lot of weight, so he decided he was going to lose a lot of weight, and he went on a diet, and he came up and told me, because he was a talker and he liked to share things. He said, well, I'm going on this new diet. And he says, I'm supposed to start eating breakfast. You know, he had written out what he was going to eat every day. He said, I'm not used to eating breakfast. I don't normally eat breakfast, and I'm not hungry in the mornings. But he said, whoever he had been listening to on his diet said, well, if you will start in the morning, you will start eating this, you know. And I forget the exact time frame, but basically the point was, after a week or 2 weeks or whatever time frame they gave him, after that, your body will start to, you will start to get hungry. You will start to want breakfast, because your body is going to do what you train it to do. But he had to take the first step. He didn't wake up one morning with all of a sudden he was just incredibly hungry, because he had not been training his body to do that. So his body was not in the habit of eating breakfast. And the first few times that he starts taking some bites, you know, it just really wasn't what he wanted. But as he was consistently, as he made it a habit, John Maxwell says in his book, The 15 Laws of Leadership, he says, don't wait until you are motivated to take action. Take action first, and the motivation will come. As newborn babes, desire. Go get some desire. Take action, and the desire will come. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Milk of the word. He's equating Scripture. He's equating the words of God that we have on the pages of our Bible. He's equating that as milk, as a natural food product that we use for our bodies. In 1 Corinthians, I didn't put all of these scriptures, I didn't give them all to Miss Tammy. I'm just going to refer to them. So, I mean, if you want to check up on me, I'll give you the reference, but I'm not going to have her go to all these. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul writes, he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. But he equates the word, Peter equates it with milk, Paul equates it with milk and meat. Jesus said in Matthew 4, when he was answering the devil when he was in temptation, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he equates it as bread. As bread. As bread is to the body. John 6:63, Jesus speaking, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So what part of us is supposed to grow? If we read the scripture every day, we're probably not going to grow taller, are we? Yeah, I've tried. This is just a quick refresher of something I shared a few weeks ago about man being a three-part being, because God said in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. And Hebrews 12:9 says, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence or respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So God, it refers here as God is the Father of spirits. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a spirit because God is the Father of spirits. Because God is a three-part being, we've been made with three parts, spirit, soul, and body. So desire the sincere milk of the Word, or as the Word is, as food is to our body, the Word of God is to our spirit, that our spirit may grow thereby, that our spirit may grow. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and I shared this before too. This is just when the rich man was, he died. Lazarus died too. So their bodies were buried or burned or whatever they did with them back then. But in hell, he looked up and he saw Lazarus. So he had spiritual eyes of some kind. And he called out, he recognized Abraham. I guess he recognized Abraham and he saw Lazarus. And he called out. So he had a voice. Your spirit has a voice. So you have a spirit. And as our natural body doesn't naturally grow unless it gets nutrients, unless it has nutrition, unless it gets food to grow by, so it seems that our spirit is limited on what it can grow unless it gets nutrition or nutrients or the Word to grow by. But to grow, natural food has to be broken down. Digestion is a process. It has to be broken down and absorbed into the body. You don't just sit down and eat a meal. We went out Friday night and we went out with some friends and we ate at the hibachi place here in town. And we were sitting there eating, and the guy that was cooking our food, he was asking what we did, and he asked me what I did. I said, well, I do accounting work. And he said, well, I was sitting down, so he couldn't see me real well. He said, well, you're in better shape than, most accountants I see are a lot larger than you. And so I said, well, let me finish this rice here, and then let's see if that helps. It helps me fill out any, you know. And he said, oh, he says, you'd have to eat that rice every day. But that's right. I mean, you know, I could sit there and gorge myself on rice and whatever else, but it's not going to have an immediate effect, but it would have an effect over time, right? Because it has to break down. It has to be absorbed because digestion is a process. And and honestly, I'm not aware of a scripture in the Bible that says to read the word and be successful. But there's a scripture that says to meditate. And I didn't give this reference because I didn't want to, like, you know, just run us through. But Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Meditate is a little bit deeper than just read over. There's a difference between having seen a movie and a movie you've seen multiple times on how well you know that, right? You may have seen something, but you may not really know it. When Julie and I first got married, the house that we moved into, my grandparents' farmhouse, and just before we had moved in a few weeks, there had been a storm. They didn't have any, you know, this has been some years ago. We've been married a while now. And, yeah, it's been a day or two. And so this is before, I mean, you couldn't get internet out to the country back then. You know, I think we had something that was like a cellular, you were not streaming television, okay? We didn't have a satellite or anything. There was one antenna that they had mounted on a, like a 20-foot pole just to try to get it up high enough to get a signal, like an old-fashioned actual TV antenna. And just a few weeks before we'd moved in, a storm had taken that down. So we had my dorm television, my dorm-sized television that I had, sorry, I walk around a lot, that I had in college that we actually wiped the dust off of. And we had a VCR player, or VHS, what did you call it? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, thank you. Yeah, it's been so long, even I've forgotten. And we had one tape of a John Wayne movie that I think my mom got me when we got married. One tape of McClintock, a movie called McClintock. And every evening, that's maybe not even the best movie in the world. Every evening, we would make dinner, eat dinner, and watch McClintock. Till we got some more movies. There's movies I've seen. But I could tell, I mean, I can quote lines out of McClintock, right? I mean, I know that one a little. I mean, there's a difference between what we've seen and what we know. There's a difference in Scripture between what we've read and what we've absorbed, what we have stopped and allowed to break down, to be digested. The scripture, John 3:16, it's known by most people, at least in America, right? If you ask, you know, they asked several years ago, I think it was Mr. Clinton or somebody, you know, their favorite scripture, and they said, well, it's John 3:16. I mean, it was like a standard. Actually, I think he misquoted and said John 16:3, which, anyways, it was. I know it was a thing for a while, but the point is, it's well known by most people in this nation, and yet it has not changed the life of everyone that knows, that can tell you that scripture is in the Bible, because it hasn't truly been absorbed. It hasn't truly been thought out. They haven't taken the time to stop and think about what the scripture says and let it absorb into the inner man. And if we're honest, if I'm honest, most of the time when I hear it, it's like, oh yeah, I know what that says. But do I actually stop? Sometimes you almost miss some of the truth because you've heard it so much, you're kind of used to letting it run on by. But what I'm trying to say is that when we take scripture, even familiar scripture like that, for God so loved the world, but if I really started my day in the morning when I'm brushing my teeth or whatever and I'm looking in the mirror, and if I really stopped and said, for God so loved you, Robert, that he gave his only son, that by believing in him you should have everlasting life. If I just stopped and thought about those words and how they applied to me, how would that change as that truth actually started to register, as that truth actually started to be broke down and be absorbed? How would that change my life? How would it change your life? Sincerely desire, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. This works for everybody. He didn't say that some of you may grow. He didn't say some of you will grow by the word and some of you may not, but give it a try and see. No, it works for all of us, just like food works for all of us. There was a preacher who, I believe he was a Baptist preacher who got spirit filled, and so he was new, and you know, in that, in being spirit filled, and there was a woman in his church who was terminally ill, and she was in the hospital, and every day he would go by, and he would visit her, and he would take her a different message every day. And leave her something that she could listen to. And so he had been doing this for a while. And as he was going to see her, these words kept coming back to him on the inside. Faith cometh by hearing. You know, and the rest of that verse says, and hearing by the word of God. But he said it just kind of kept stopping there. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing. And he didn't really know what it meant at first. But finally he decided, I feel like what the Lord's trying to tell me. He shared this with this woman. He said that instead of taking you a different message every day, he said, I'm giving you this message, which I forget the exact title. I think it was like God's medicine, or God's medicine being the word. He said, I'm going to leave this one message with you. And he said, I just want you to listen to this one every day this week. Don't listen to all of the others. Just take this one message and listen to it every day this week. And the testimony is that by the end of the week, she had received healing. But that truth of that message, hearing it over and over, just like McClintock, it got down on the inside of her because it got a chance to actually, you know, after you've heard something over and over, it started to break down and it started to have an effect. Because it was absorbed just like milk going into her system. Hebrews 4:12. We're going to actually change scriptures on the screen now. For the word of God, read this with me. For the word of God is quick. Now, in the King James, that means if you hit the little dot that tells you what that means in modern English, it says living. For the word of God is living and powerful. How would that change our life if every time we stopped to sit down to read our Bible, we thought about these words being living and powerful? They're not dead words on a page. They're living and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Is that true? Amen. 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 That's in Scripture. That's for us. That's what Scripture, that's what God is saying about His own Word. That is the truth. It's living. It's powerful. It pierces even to dividing asunder soul and spirit. So, soul and spirit, they are two separate things because they can be divided. But why? Why do we need to divide them? I'd never really had this thought before, but as I was putting this scripture in, I asked myself, I thought, why do they need to be divided? And so, well, what is the soul? Well, the soul is your thoughts and your emotions, right? And so, maybe not every thought, maybe not every emotion that we experience is from God. And this story came to me as I asked myself that question. I remembered, and I'm sorry, I probably should actually put this one in, and I didn't, but in Mark chapter 5, verses 35 and 36, this is the story that, we have two stories in one here. We have Jairus, it may not be his name, but we have the synagogue ruler who had whose daughter was lying sick. She was deathly ill, and he had come to Jesus. Jesus had just come up on shore. He had come to Jesus and said, if you would come and heal my daughter, you know, she will be healed. And Jesus is on his way. And while he's on his way, this woman comes up behind him in the crowd and she touches his garment. She had an issue of blood, and she touches his garment and she receives her healing. And Jesus stops and he talks to her. He says, you know, who touched me? You know, and they go into this. And while he is having this conversation, they come up to the ruler of the synagogue and they say, in 35, they say, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. While he yet spake, thank you, Miss Tammy, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master any further? Look at this. This makes me laugh in some ways because in modern day, if all of you were pastors, if we had a whole room full of pastors and we were to ask, you know, who wants to pastor just like Jesus? Who wants to be just like Jesus? Wouldn't we all raise our hands if we were all pastors? Wouldn't everybody raise their hands? Okay? Jesus tells this man, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. If I was in the ER with somebody and they came out and said, your child had just passed away, and I was going to try to say something, you know, I don't think my first words would be, I could see the headlines now, you know, cold-hearted, you know, person says, don't be afraid, don't worry about it, and to parent of, that's not the most sympathetic thing you could say in that moment. Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. But how many of you know that what Jesus said, he said for the man's good, it was the right thing to say. But notice that obviously fear must, I mean, that would be a natural response. That's probably going to come to all of us if those words ever, I mean, that is not, I mean, you're going to feel something, but it wasn't what God wanted in that moment. Right? The soul and the spirit had to be divided because there's going to come thoughts and there's going to come feelings. You're going to feel things. That may be legitimate. they may have a legitimate right to be there. And a strong spirit is what's going to hold us steady. Which takes us to why. Why do we want to grow stronger spiritually? Why? And I'm going to consolidate here and wrap up because I can see what time it is. But when I was younger, sitting out there just like all of you, the honest truth is, I didn't want to get just too spiritual, because then you become some weird person. Or God would send me to China as a missionary, and I don't want to go to China. Now I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to be too weird, and I don't want to, and I certainly don't want to be going to China as a mission, because if you get really close, then you got to do something like that. There's no scripture that I know of that God, thank God he does call people to China as missionaries, but he gives them a desire, I believe, to do that. There's not a scripture I know of that says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby so you can go to China. It just says, it's talking about our spirit gaining in strength. And this is the part I want to say. When our spirits get stronger, life gets easier to bear. Life gets easier. My grandmother, when she was in assisted living, she gave me a cup, a 16-ounce insulated cup that you would drink coffee or something cold out of. She gave it to me. She said, I'm gonna give you that cup. My aunt or uncle or my dad, somebody bought that for her. She said, I'm going to give you that cup. She says, I don't like that thing. It's heavy. I was glad to get it. It was a nice cup. I didn't think it was heavy at all. But my grandmother was, 80-something years old. I don't remember exactly. But, she's in her 80s. She doesn't do anything. Doesn't leave that room all day. And her arms were, about that big around. That cup was heavy. If our spirits get weak because we're not giving time to the word to let it break down and let us gain that strength, life gets really heavy. And the heavier life is, the harder it gets to bear. And God's not trying to send everybody to China. He's going to send those that are called and those that he's given that desire. But he's just trying to get strength into us. But we have to desire the word. He's going to get strength into us so that life gets easier. And my last point, because I know I'm running over, is the word is what does the work. If we back up one verse from 1 Peter 2 to 1 Peter 1, it says, therefore laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. How many of us know that's the right thing to do? How many of us think that's always easy? Why don't we just do it if that's the right thing? All evil speaking. I shouldn't tell somebody what I think when I go through the drive-thru and they give me the wrong order and they were kind of rude to me when they did it, and I told them it was wrong and they acted like they could care less, honestly, But if we back up and put this whole thing in context, I'll close with this. If we go back to, the Bible's broken up into different chapters, but it was all one letter written by the same person. So in chapter 1, verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Don't miss that. That is the word, your spirit, your flesh is born of an earthly seed, a physical seed. Your spirit is born of the seed of the word of God, because all flesh, all your body is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flowers falls away, So your body's going to perish, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. It's a living and enduring seed. Because that word is in you, then therefore, going to chapter 2, verse 1, this is the very next verse, therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. How do you do that? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that seed in you may grow thereby, that your spirit may grow stronger, that seed, that living seed that endures forever, that is how that word will do the work. That word will do the work by giving strength to your spirit. So praise God. Praise God. Thank you.